begin right now, so I'm just going to do the regular introduction. Welcome, everyone. My name is Nishan Livingston. I am here with Richard Kent, and you are listening to WHUS Stores. And today we are going to go over a couple of topics regarding UConn athletics, including UConn's new state tax credit program, the open practice that the women's basketball team had recently at Sacred Heart, and of course the recruitment of West Haven star Abdou Touré. So, Richard, is there anything in particular you'd want to start with? Do you want to start with the practice, Touré, or the tax credit program?
Yeah, we've got Touré coming up on Friday in terms of a decision.
Mm-hmm.
So we can start with that. We know that it's Arkansas, UConn, and Providence.
Of course.
Personally, I don't think he's going to go to Arkansas. There was a lot of glitz and glamour, probably bigger dollars thrown around with respect to Arkansas. And I think it was fun and a nice compliment to him and his dad and family. But I think it's UConn and Providence.
Okay.
We know that he is absolute, unequivocal, number one priority for Providence. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
Mm-hmm.
Providence is all in on getting Abdou Touré. And listen, UConn is as well. UConn's recruitment is a lot larger and wider than just one individual. And, you know, they're also looking at a couple of players that are, you know, his size, that are equally as highly ranked, if not higher.
Yes.
A school like UConn, you know, the top of the hill, could afford to do that. Providence is putting, you know, the proverbial all the eggs in one basket.
Yep.
My hunch is that the money will be similar, even though I don't have any firsthand information on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one always has to be a little bit wary when you're the state university of taking the most highly touted player in the state.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't work out, and I have no reason to believe it wouldn't work out, but there's a whole, it's not as simple as Abdou Touré, excellent ball player. And by the way, he is, I've seen him five times, has never disappointed. Maybe needs a little bit better of an outside shot. But besides that, really, really, really good player. He would certainly be in the rotation at any of those three schools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that Abdou Touré is the highest ranked recruit in Connecticut this year, and he is a 4-star. He is very good. I've seen his highlights, and as a relative of someone who does play basketball in like the New Haven area, he's aware of Abdou, and he's very good. I've seen him. I also do agree that his perimeter shooting needs a bit more polishing, but overall seems like a very valuable player. From what I've heard, though, I've seen a lot of like places like 247 Sports. That's like a, of course, for those who don't know, recruiting website. And they have crystal balls to Providence, actually. And I understand that Providence is the most likely school of these three to offer him playing time, since compared to the other two, he will certainly be in the main rotation. He will likely be a starter by the time he gets there in 2026, as opposed to somewhere like UConn or even Arkansas, where it's like he will probably sit on the bench for a year, and then maybe year two he comes out and is a starter, hopefully. But yeah, it's just interesting to see how this recruitment process is going, especially when Providence, very clearly on a national scale, is the odd one out here.
Yeah, and I've been told that at least one person in his camp, and all these kids have camps, you got to understand that, they have advisors, is really high on Providence. Don't know who that person is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Providence right now seems to be the clear favorite, although I mean, I guess that's good for them simply because I honestly did not know they had the actual funding to get a player of his caliber, because they're just not known for doing that. But I also do know that Providence is targeting other long shot candidates like Caleb Holt, very good player. I don't think he's going to Providence, but I do know that they did catch his interest for a little bit.
Well, when you say that about Providence, Providence has a lot of alumni with a lot of money, and they have a very rabid fan base. So I would not write off their ability to write a big check.
That's fair. Yeah, but are there any other recruits that UConn is looking at that interest you?
Well, there's loads, but I have, you know, in all fairness, I have not done a deep dive into them. You know, I've heard different things from different people mm-hmm. about two other players that are 2-3 type players.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, without any real serious firsthand information, I'm not going to give any opinions.
Fair enough. I do think that UConn has been pretty quiet this year when it comes to recruiting. It might just be me, but I feel like there are a lot more unknowns with these players this year, whereas opposed to last year, it was pretty clear who we were targeting, and we generally got like players like Eric Riba and Braylon Mullins. We got them around this time, maybe just a little bit later, but it seems more open. I know that we're looking at North Carolina native Cole Clore. He's a 4-star, and then of course we're looking at Dylan Mingo, who's from Long Lutheran, I think, or Lutheran from Long Island, so regional.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of noise about this kid Cole from North Carolina being a UConn lean.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, I hope that in an ideal situation, all three of them end up over here. Although I don't think that's gonna happen. I do think we get at least one of them.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, but anyways, moving on. So you said that you went to the women's open practice. So we'll switch over to women's basketball, and this was in Sacred Heart. What were your observations?
Well, I have an overriding observation that the UConn men and women need to be in Fairfield County at least once a year, be it a practice, a scrimmage, or an exhibition game.
Agreed.
There's an awful lot of money in Fairfield County, UConn money in Fairfield County, and it makes no sense to me. Why not play an exhibition game in Bridgeport instead of Mohegan Sun? I don't know what to say. I mean, that building, driving up that hill to Sacred Heart, and listen, I only live 5 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
Driving up that hill to Sacred Heart, I mean, I've never seen so much traffic. those were rabid, rabid, rabid people. In the merchandise line, I thought when you got to the door, the line was to get in. The line was to buy merchandise.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, listen, Gamble is a long ride for people my age from Westport, Stanford, Greenwich. I used to do it on a Tuesday night and a Wednesday night. I'm not doing it anymore. I will go to Hartford for sure, but this is a real opportunity, Dave Benedict, to grab, you know, I'm not going to name any names, but there were some people sitting right in front of me that are big donors to UConn.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Neil Eskin from UConn communicating with them. This is a real opportunity to have them drive 5 or 10 miles and to be able to see UConn men or women or both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I personally fully agree with that. As someone also from Fairfield County, I would love to be able to just drive up to Bridgeport or something and watch the UConn men's or women's teams play. I think that would be the perfect idea to like host a scrimmage over there, I don't know, against a regional opponent like UMass or even Syracuse, because I know the scheduling philosophy won't allow us to schedule Syracuse, unfortunately. But
Michonne, how about finally playing Yale? Listen, last year, UConn plays Yale 10 times, and I knew that Yale team inside and out. Yale wins 2 or 3 of those games, okay? I'm not saying they do this year, but last year, with Pulakitas and Mabang,
mm-hmm.
two kids that are still on rosters right now, the Clippers and the Heat, okay, that team wins 2 or 3 from UConn. Why not at least scrimmage them?
Yeah, I mean that. I feel like it should happen at this point. I think Yale's a very intriguing opponent. It's an in-state opponent that could actually be decently competitive.
For sure. And, you know, who does UConn open with this year? We know who they open with. They open with the University of New Haven.
Yeah.
Okay. Isn't Yale the University of New Haven? I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, that's just kind of, unfortunately, the scheduling philosophy that I've noticed with UConn, where it's like you're either going to challenge yourself with with high-tier quad one opponents, or you're just going to schedule the worst teams in the country, like absolute cupcakes.
No, for sure. I understand that, but, you know, it's more than selfishly. I think there's a lot of people in the center of this state that would like to see that game.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I also think it would be a good way to engage fans from, like, the area or Yale fans, like, just get them on board, possibly. Possibly, you know?
Well, let me ask it a different way. Is there anything wrong with being in the same sentence with Yale?
Nah. No.
I mean, that's always been my shtick about Rutgers playing Princeton. You know what? Princeton, the number one undergraduate school in the world. What's wrong with being in the same sentence as Princeton? So
yeah, I mean, honestly, I think UConn should schedule Rutgers for like an exhibition at the very least too. But that's just me.
Right, right. Well, you can only play so many.
Yeah, but going on to the women's practice, were there any players that stood out to you in particular?
I really like KK Arnold and Heckle. They stood out to me. AZ Fudd was not hitting her. I mean, obviously she's tremendous. Mm-hmm. Was not hitting her three. I saw like 2/3 of it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I also, I don't know. I've seen the male players at Rutgers for the women's team and the male players at Michigan for the women's team. I didn't think that the competition was that good for the UConn women. Maybe it was an off day. There were two kids that I certainly thought were good suburban players.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, overall, I thought maybe a little, but listen, those are the kids that Gino and his staff chose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the practice players?
Yeah.
Got you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so can you go a bit more into detail about what you saw with KK and Heckle? No, Heckle is from the area.
I just think KK is such a bundle of energy and, you know, raising her hands up in the air and would have been a great Ryder Cup player, I think, for the United States team. I just think she has the whole package. Heckle can shoot it. She's a skilled player, and I think she sees the court really well. Sarah Strong is Sarah Strong. I mean, she's just tremendous, and Sarah Williams is a really good player. I've known about her for a long time. I know a lot of schools that wanted her out of Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
and I mean this is a really talented, really deep UConn team.
So I remember you saying that this team would be the very clear favorite to win the national title again. Do you still believe that? Do these opinions still hold?
I do. I saw you and I saw each other in July, I think,
mm-hmm.
and I said that to you, and I still feel that way. I think there's a lot of teams that are being overrated. One team that I don't think is being overrated is LSU. She's got a lot of talent. She's got two kids from the portal who are really good. I would not in the least be surprised to see them play for the national championship.
Got you. Okay, so you talked about Sarah Williams. We talked about Kaylee Heckle, of course, some key new players. But what about Blanca Quinones? She was a highly touted recruit that is supposed to come in this year.
I did not get a good feel for her. So I cannot, you know, based on 40 minutes of play, I could not give you a good appraisal.
Fair enough. I mean, honestly, I appreciate the honest opinion, honest review.
Right, right. But when I used the word depth, I mean, she's going to be part of that depth.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is the biggest strength of the team overall, and what do you think is the biggest drawback or the thing that they need to work on from what you've seen?
They're really big inside. They're going to be tough. They're going to be tough to defend inside, and they're going to get a lot of rebounds. I don't know that I saw a really good outside shooting performance.
Okay.
From three. Maybe that was an anomaly. Maybe I didn't see the stat sheet. Maybe I wasn't looking closely enough. But the only true weakness is, God forbid, an injury.
Yeah, I know UConn has been pretty snake bitten with injuries in the past couple of years, and we saw how, when everything comes together, what that can mean for the school. It means winning another title in dominant fashion. But, of course, you know, just got to make sure that everyone's healthy this year and nobody's out for any extended periods.
No, for sure. But, listen, the Big East is not going to test you.
Mm-hmm.
So, the strong out-of-conference schedule, of course, they're not playing South Carolina. They're not playing LSU.
Yeah.
That, you know, I don't know who made those decisions. LSU may well have made the decision not to play UConn, because if you look at their out-of-conference schedule, it is not rigorous at all, other than a trip to Duke, to Cameron Indoor, to play Duke.
Gotcha. But speaking of schedules, for UConn, of course, UConn has an intriguing non-conference schedule. I believe some of the teams in there are Ohio State, Florida State, Tennessee, Notre Dame, and et cetera. At USF was also interesting, although I don't think that'll be too hard. But which school, which game do you think will be the biggest test for UConn?
Well, certainly Tennessee and Notre Dame. Yeah, I know Ohio State really well. I represent their head coach, and he's got a great program there. I don't know that this is one of his top three teams since he's been there. The game is obviously in Connecticut. It's now what, the People's Bank Arena? Is that what it's called?
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm going to say it again. It's at the XL Center.
I feel you there.
Right. But I don't think that's going to be, that's a 10 or 12 point win.
Okay. Yeah, so Tennessee and Notre Dame seem to be the headliners for this non-con schedule. I definitely want to get back at both of them, because Notre Dame has had our number for the past few years, and Tennessee was not a loss that we should have taken last year. I think that was a big part in why we got a 2 seed and not a 1 seed.
How did that work out?
I mean, yeah, I mean, the results speak for themselves.
Right.
Yeah, right. But I'm definitely excited for the UConn women's and men's basketball teams. You know, that's the bread and butter of UConn athletics. But moving on into just a more general athletic situation, I recently wrote an article about UConn employing a state tax credit program to support the athletics program. Of course, it is supposed to provide benefits for state taxpayers who opt in. And like I said, the money will go and help support the athletics program in this times of changing. Excuse me, in the time of this changing landscape in college athletics. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are that every school without a big fish like St. John's with the vitamin, Mike Rapoli, the vitamin water guy, need alternative sources of revenue and alternative sources of creativity. And this is an alternative source of creativity. And I applaud UConn, I applaud Connecticut for this, and I think it's going to be really helpful. The UConn men and the UConn women have tremendous coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, the UConn women are prohibitive favorites, in my opinion, to win the national championship. The UConn men are one of 5 schools who I think can win the national championship when push comes to shove.
Mm-hmm.
People are pushing Houston. I think Houston's margin is really low, given the fact that they play in the 60s. when you play in the 60s, you can lose 68-66.
Yeah.
And I just got to say this, and I'm going to say it every year until I'm proven wrong. I'm just not sold on Matt Painter winning a national championship. I mean, there's been too many stops and starts with the, you know, with the FDUs and the St. Peters. So, and they're very good. They've got two All-Americans starting.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a better backcourt than anybody.
Yeah.
So, listen, I don't know him personally. He's supposed to be a great guy. And if he wins it, that's great. But another factor is this. Let's start the countdown. It's been 25 years since the Big Ten won a national championship.
That's true.
Is it going to be 26?
I mean, honestly, I think so. I feel like someone as obvious as Purdue is not going to win it. I just think that's just how March Madness works. Except for that one year that we won it in 2024. It's like usually a choice is so obvious that it's actually not going to happen.
Right. No, I don't disagree.
Yeah. But anyways, just for a little bit more insight on the tax credit program, just for those who don't know, the program will provide taxpayers state tax credit equal to 50% of qualifying payments made to support UConn's athletics programs. And among those qualifying payments are donations of at least $5,000 to the Store Strong Fund, which is something that is newly created to receive them. That can be accessed via UConn's marketplace. And then, of course, you have NIL agreements that are worth at least $5,000 and sponsorship agreements worth at least $25,000. And this is all in accordance with the UConn Tax and Compliance Office. So I know that you work a lot with NIL, and how do you think this would affect? You think a lot of people are going to donate in NIL for this, or?
Well, those are lofty numbers. Mm-hmm. So it's not like making $100 a month contribution.
Mm-hmm.
Those are lofty numbers. Do I think a lot are? I don't know if a lot are, but I don't know that a lot need to. I think the right people are.
Got you. Yeah, it's just this era of college athletics, like you said, it does kind of encourage schools, or more so pressure schools, to be extremely creative with their ways of supporting their sports programs. And of course, UConn is no stranger to fielding some very highly successful athletics teams. And
no doubt. And why UConn is not in the ACC is mind-numbing to me, and I've agreed. I thought it before Coach K said it. I really think there should be a merger between the ACC and the Big East.
I would love that to happen. I honestly just can't see it happening because I don't think the ACC schools would agree to something like that. But honestly, that would be the best of both worlds, especially for us, because you get the culture of the Big East and the basketball priorities while you also have a football home, and then you get to play your former rivals like Syracuse, Pittsburgh, even Boston College.
Correct. But, you know, who knows? I was really hopeful, you know, changing topics a little bit. I was really hopeful heading into the Syracuse football game that this could be a special football season at UConn, a 10-win football season that could open some eyes. I just saw a little bit too much conservative play in the second half of that football game.
Yep.
And unfortunately, when you play not to lose, sometimes you lose.
Yeah, especially when we're in our position at UConn, you just don't have much to lose anyways. Like, we don't have the best football reputation, and we kind of just need to prove ourselves against higher competition. If we lose to Syracuse, it was like you're supposed to lose that game. But we were in a position where we should have won that.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt at all. And, you know, I guess you got to point to Boston College and Duke.
Yeah.
And Duke goes up to Syracuse and wins 31-3, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's huge. So listen, this has been great. I'd love, once I get a better feel for not only recruiting on the men's side, but also both the men's and the women's team, to come back on right before the season starts and give you my thoughts
mm-hmm.
about UConn on the national level and also on the Big East level.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Just to clarify, also, I made this mistake. Duke defeated Syracuse 38-3, so it was even worse. Yeah.
They scored that late touchdown. Yep. Got it.
Yeah, but anyways, if I could ask one more question, what are you any main plans for this month or anything regarding UConn or sports?
No, I mean, I'm gonna be voting in some preseason polls. For national preseason polls,
okay.
I've been doing a lot of podcasts. I just did a pod with the University of Pennsylvania new coach, Fran McCaffrey, who had been at Iowa and now is at Pennsylvania. His alma mater, that can be found on Spotify. He talks a lot about Caitlin Clark because she's dating his son.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, some interesting stuff there. Looking forward to the start of the season. I'm going to be doing a lot of Yale men's games on the radio on WYBC.
Okay.
And I hope to be a halftime guest, if it's doable, on your station.
Yeah, of course. I'll definitely try to make that work because I would be really interested in that. It's something that I would personally love to happen, of course.
Well, let's see if it's going to happen, but I really enjoyed speaking with you today.
Yeah, of course. And just as a reminder, everyone, you're listening to WHUS Stores. I'd like to thank Richard Kent for agreeing to come on to this podcast for a nice little talk about UConn sports, all things covering basketball, and just our state of our athletics program. And
thank you, Mr. John.
Yeah, no problem. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too.